Dear friends in Christ, we've heard today the beautiful and very well-known gospel reading about the two sisters, Martha and Mary, whom the Lord visited in their house, and how they received him in different ways. Martha, very busy with the kitchen and all the little things to give hospitality to our Lord. Mary, just sitting, listening to his words. So Mary's a little annoyed and says, "Lord, tell her to help me. I'm doing all this stuff by myself." But Lord says, "No, she's taken the better part." Almost from the very beginning of the history of the church, these two sisters have been seen as a kind of symbol, if you like, an icon of two different ways of serving God. Most people are called to the life of active work in the world, doing the kind of ordinary things that Martha was doing in her household. Most lay people are called to that kind of life. Mary has often been seen, and quite rightly, as like a forerunner or a symbol of a life totally dedicated to Jesus, what we now call the religious life, the life of nuns and brothers, consecrated men and women who undertake not to marry, to give their lives totally, full-time, in the worship of God and the service of God. And the Lord says, that's the better part. It's worth remembering that always, and I think now more than ever, there is a tremendous importance in promoting vocations to the consecrated life, the life of nuns and priests and brothers. Even those who apparently don't do actively the kind of things that the modern world thinks are so important. Just yesterday we had the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the patroness of the Carmelite family of priests and brothers and sisters, nuns, who dedicate their lives, very many of them, to a life of silent contemplation and prayer. In the eyes of the world, that's pretty useless. But we have to remember that the church is a supernatural organism. It's not just the outward big organization that appears to the world. It doesn't function just according to the sociological and political and human norms that other great big societies function according to. The very heart of the church on earth are these communities of men and women who give themselves totally to God, who pray, who bring down so many graces from heaven. They're unseen, they're not talked about, they don't hit the headlines, except, well, I did hear this morning on the radio a group called Nuns on the Bus, and they're traveling around with a lot of political activity at the Republican and Democrat conventions. Well, that's not quite the kind of apostolate that consecrated men and women are called to anyway. The prayer and sacrifice and contemplation of men and women who give their lives totally to God is something more than ever necessary in this materialistic world that we live in now. So let's pray for vocations to the consecrated life. But also applying that to our own lives, it's important to remember that these two forms of service to God, one represented by Mary, the other by Martha, we shouldn't exaggerate the difference between them or draw too much of a sharp line between them, because really, every one of us is called to be in some respects a Martha, in another sense a Mary. Even those of us who are most busy and occupied with worldly activities in our secular jobs, we are called to carve out time for prayer, to make that a priority. No matter how many other things we have, we must find time to be silent, to listen to God, as Mary listened to Jesus. The first reading shows us how even this active service can in fact be a moment of listening to the Lord. We heard there in that reading from Genesis the account of how some angels from God appeared to Abraham, just like looking like regular human beings, had a very, very important message. But Abraham's first preoccupations, well, these visitors, we must show them hospitality. So he asked Sarah, his wife, to get some cooking done, and he gets an animal killed and prepares a stew and all. He's very busy, like Martha was. But then what happens? Right in the middle of that busyness, he hears a message from these angels telling him, within 1 year, your wife Sarah, who you thought was childless, is now past the age of childbearing, she will bear a son. And of course, that came true with the birth of Isaac, who in turn became one of the ancestors of God Himself in human flesh, one of our Lord Jesus Christ's ancestors. A visit there that changed the whole of history. Abraham, busy with serving, also learned and listened God's words brought to him by that angel. And finally, St. Paul in the second reading today reminds us that, on the other hand, what seems to be something quite passive or receptive, not actually doing anything, can be a tremendous source of spiritual power and action in God's sight. St. Paul there talks about how he accepts his sufferings. He's apparently in poor health at that time. He's in pain. But he says, and I quote here, "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." In a mysterious way, simply accepting with faith the sufferings, the sickness, the trials of this life, offering them up to God, St. Paul tells us, inspired by God, that in a mysterious way, that completes and complements and gives expression. It's like a channel that releases the power that Jesus won on the cross by shedding his blood. It's not that his sacrifice was imperfect or insufficient, but he gives us a chance to share those graces, to channel them, to communicate them in many ways, and amongst other ways, simply accepting in faith the sufferings or pain or sickness and loss and grievances that God allows to happen in our lives. So let's ask God this morning to help us imitate both Mary and Martha. We must be active and ready to help those in need. At the same time, we must carve out space in our lives to listen to Jesus' words, to reflect on the Bible, to open our hearts to what he wants to say to us in different ways in the circumstances of our daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.